The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Raising his eyes towards his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Well, once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You've heard of the Beatitudes from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be consoled. You've heard of the Beatitudes before. Nobody can go through so much as second grade in Catholic school without knowing the Beatitudes. And these are not the Beatitudes, right? The Beatitudes come from the Gospel of Matthew and the famous Sermon on the Mount. This rather is the Gospel of Luke, and it's an entirely different sermon, an entirely different place, and an entirely different time. We'll be hearing it for the next few days, and it's known as the Sermon on the Plain. So named because it begins when Jesus comes to a stretch of level ground. And it's a different sermon in a different place. You know, every good teacher repeats the most important lessons and highlights those parts of those lessons that are most important. And that's what our Lord is doing here in this gospel. Two ways that these Beatitudes from Luke are different. First of all, there's only four of them. In Matthew, there's eight. And secondly, the four blessings are followed by four woes. And I don't know about you, but I think the woes are far more interesting than the blessings. Let's just focus on the woes for just a moment, shall we? Okay, four woes. You want to understand the woes here in the Gospel of Luke? You got to understand a little bit of the Old Testament, okay? A little bit of the Old Testament. There's three times in the Old Testament in which the prophets preach woe to the people. Those were the prophets Isaiah, Amos, and Habakkuk. And every time they preach woe to the people, they first preached reform and repentance to all the people, but no matter how much they preached, the people wouldn't change. Other people kept living as they were living, and they said, "Nothing's going to happen to us, and everything's always going to remain just as it is." But the prophets knew better. They knew that there was an impending disaster coming. At the time of Isaiah and Amos, it was the invasion of the Assyrians. At the time of Habakkuk, it was the invasion of the Babylonians. And because the people wouldn't change, as a last-ditch effort to get them to realize the gravity of the situation, the disaster that was about to befall them, the prophet said, "Woe to you." So here's our Lord saying, "Woe to you." What's the disaster that's about to befall us? What's the impending disaster? It's the reality of our own death and divine judgment. Something that we need to prepare for every single day. Something that if we do not prepare for, we will find, but it will go not well. It will be a disaster for those who were complacent and who were not prepared. Now, philosophers will tell you that if it wasn't for death, there'd be no philosophy. But the fact that our time here is limited, especially the fact that none of us knows how long we have, forces us to ask the questions, what matters and what doesn't? What's good and what's evil?
What's right and what's wrong? What's virtuous and what's sinful? And the fact that we have to face a divine judgment, as we all know from our faith, means that what we do here really matters, because there will be a reckoning. It's never difficult to know what's right, is it? It's not difficult to know the difference between right and wrong. Everybody knows that. That's why there are so many cynics in the world. We can all perceive it. What's difficult is not knowing what's right. What's difficult is choosing what's right. It's difficult to choose what's virtuous, especially on a regular basis. But it's much, much more difficult when things are going well. There's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with being filled. There's nothing wrong with laughing, except for the fact that in such hours, we're not being formed because we're not being challenged. It's very, very difficult to change your ways when all is going well, when you have enough of everything, and everybody speaks well of you. And similarly, you know, there's nothing good about being poor. There's nothing good about being hungry. There's nothing good about being weeping, except at such hours, to make a change in your life is much, much easier. It's a great opportunity, a blessing in disguise. And that's why our Lord speaks to us as he does. You know, if we're wise, we'll learn to see the difficulties of life for what they are. They are, in fact, blessings in disguise. And as we said in our first reading, the world as we know it is passing away. Let's then pray for the wisdom to make the best of the hard times that come to us all, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Peter Claver, pray for us.